I saw her, you know, the day it happened. This is what he said every time before erupting into a tale of betrayal and love. The life and lust of Empress Selene Kane was legendary, and her love for the two men a thing of true tragedy that tore asunder the kingdom, nay, not just the kingdom, but as we were later to find out, the world of Kastheim itself. Asunder, the man lighting his pipe right now and trying to look sophisticated is about to regale us with this tale. He is old, weathered, and still one of the finest knights of the realm. The Knights of the Cloven Leaf were an old order of town guards turned mercenaries. Brennan Jagaris was its co-founder. During the War of the Twin Houses of Cobra and Snake, he took to the field as a nobody and somehow came out of the Tower of Emeralds as the man who took the Baron Cadence's head. He sat up and began to speak. He said, "It's true. By the gods, it's true. I know what you're thinking. The knight in rags was her true love. What the two kings say is lies. However, he did kill her. He struck her dead. But I would not besmirch his honor. A terrible affliction claimed her, demonic sorcery. His love or not, she could not be saved. This freeway conflict has ended bitter. The enemies, King Jarius and King Clement, have joined forces in an effort to put us all to the sword. The Coven of the Rat has become this land's scapegoat, and the possessive king and his rapist enemy might save face. Join with me. Make a stand for the people, for the knight in rags, and for the true power in these lands, love and benevolence." Chapter 1. The Boy Who Could Wield Light. It began in Azure Mist Village, which was a whirlpool of blues and icy whites for the buildings. The pond from which the village gained its name was very clear, the most clear yet magically blue water you've ever seen. There were people praying to the pond, asking for forgiveness, knights venerating a statue to Ascariu, the god of purity in the sea, when in the distance there sat a boy, alone, astray, in an alleyway, kicked aside by society. He was tossing rocks at the wall, like a bull, and catching them, when a kind stranger came by. He said, "Takes an age to lose the detail. Bodyguards are a nightmare. Don't suppose you'd ever know. Think on that, boy, you and Mopes. In the safest alleyway in the kingdom, I'd wager anyway." The boy shuffled uncomfortably, taking a measure of the man and working out his intent. The alleys were never safe, and if a stranger was kind, he always had a motive. The boy asked, "So what you wanting with me, then?" Before the man had time to answer, the boy span on his heels, pivoting around in a spin as he bolted upwards and over the wall opposite him. The man gave chase through the streets as the two twisted through the crevices in the walls and vaulted over market stalls. At the climax of the chase came a jump from one building to another. This is, however, where the boy became foolish and began to mock the man, making rude gestures all the while until, crunch, the roof he stood on caved in. The man scooped the boy up and said, "Well, I finally got you, rascal. I'm Jarius Kane, and these are my lands. Agility like that, though, deserves praise. Not the cockiness that I saw before, though. When I slew the last Asperian, I too was a homeless vagabond. Aye, all the demons of the Aether Realm cannot fix poverty, my boy." Jarius led the boy through a checkered marble floor and stopped along four marble pillars, each depicting a hero, as he said, "It's not just kings that last forever. It's love her people had for him. Each of these kings and queens was a hero or villain. Each evokes memories. Look at Calafrax the Bloody, her shining axe extenuating her physical prowess. And Amelifan, the pious, his large gut and cheerful demeanor. You can guess what kind of man he was, can't you? Eh? So come on." He prodded the boy in the chest. "Who are you, boy? Who am I?" King Clementine had been on the throne only 3 weeks, but he'd already killed his competition, or what he assumed would be his competition, from his sibling. The boy was all but 6 years old, as Clementine had smothered his soft, small head with a pillow. The boy struggled at first, futilely, against Clementine's strength, but like Clementine, he knew he couldn't escape, and eventually had succumbed to slow suffocation. However, this wasn't good enough for Clementine. He released the pillow, watched the boy who had passed out waiting for death, and wrapped his two strong hands around his neck. The next morning, Clementine awoke to the horrified yet delightful screams of his mother. They were delightful to him, at least. The shadow of the far wall dropped just behind Clementine, veiling the boy in light, as he spoke softly. "What's wrong, mother?" Chapter 2. As Clementine opened the door, his face dropped. He was horrified, at least he imagined he looked it, as he demanded, "Get me the captain of the guard. I want that son of a bitch's head for this. My brother didn't deserve this. How could he have let this happen?" His tears were as real to him as any other emotion he would forcibly show. These emotions, he let the thought hang in his mind, knowing to satisfy his mother, punishments must be doled out, if he was to continue this charade. He pushed open the cover of his brother, as he remarked, "He looks peaceful, doesn't he, at least? We know he didn't suffer." He smiled thinly so no one would notice his delight as his mother's suffering, at his mother's suffering. He would have to savour this, as it was as close to an emotion as he would ever feel. His mother thought she saw something, but dismissed the notion, as she said, "Please find me his killer, Clement, my son." She clutched at his trousers and continued, "Make them suffer." Clement held her hand coolly and said, "Of course, mother. They owe us two lives." Okay. Clement let his cloak hang for a moment, walking into an alcove before whispering to himself, "Lovely woman." He walked past a small shop outside the castle, escorted by three men, one of which was named Aconlea Foss, a man who bore the scars of only a single battle, yet had fought in many. He used to be known as the man who no death could take, until a single battle with the Asperian Empire's own Freyr Vinland. He lost his eye, for her arrows, it was said, were the deftest in all the kingdom. The Atalus Republic has since fought in 8 minor skirmishes, most of which they lost. This left Aconlea feeling embittered. He became a cruel man, and one Clement could confide in. He taught the boy of swordplay and of women. The two had been said to enjoy many a vice. As they approached the shop in question, they found what they sought. They broke open the door to the herbalist's hut, grabbed the woman they called the witch. With her hazel eyes, she was full of terror as they announced her crimes, killing the prince Vaedrin with an old spell which made the bearer only able to breathe in the sea.